Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
Are you excited about God's Word? There's never been a time in my life where I'm more excited about God's Word, and I see it coming to pass in my life right now. And praise God, I am convinced beyond the shadow of a doubt, this world, the news is just tragic. I mean, just everything is so negative, but it does not in any way damper my faith that God's going to have the last word, and His last word is not going to be defeat. His last word is going to be victory. The Bible didn't say He's going to come back with a whimper. It said He's coming back with a shout. It's a triumphant thing. And so I believe we're in for the greatest harvest we've ever had. And praise God, I'm enjoying the journey in the meanwhile, but the best really is yet to come. Turn to the Word of God in the book of Revelation. Let me read you two verses. Revelation 2:29, Hebrews 5:14. Revelation 2:29. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Hebrews 5:14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. I want to talk to you for a few moments tonight on spiritual sensory perception. Now, you won't find that in the dictionary. It's just something that I feel like I want to talk to you about. You may be seated. God bless you. You know, there's a lot of people that feel like they're kind of special. I'm not even talking about Christian folk. I just meet them over. Oh, I know things. My wife, she knows things, I'll tell you. Oh, she's seen before they happen. And in the world, it's called extrasensory perception, or ESP. It's called the sixth sense. That term was adopted by Duke University by psychologist J.B. Ryan a long time ago to denote psychic abilities and different clairvoyance that people have. You know, I've been thinking, in the Pentecostal church and in the charismatic churches, you see a lot of people that talk about having a ministry. A friend of mine, his deal was acquaintance. He was from Canada, and his ministry was that he liked to he'd call somebody out and come up here and tell them a lot of things about their life and whatever. So another friend of mine, Alan Oggs, got on an elevator at a conference with him because one of the things he liked to tell people was their name. I never have really been too concerned about that because I figure you already know your name. Give me some information. Like, I would like to know what the stock market's going to do. I'd like to know who's going to win the Super Bowl. You can make some real money if you really had that ability, you know. But anyway, my friend got on the elevator with this guy that was always calling people out and telling their name. And he said, "Brother, what's your name?" And my friend said, "I thought that's your ministry, brother. You tell me what my name is." Somehow he could do it in front of people, but he couldn't do it in the elevator. You know, things that are kind of showy, you got to look at them and say, what purpose is this? I knew a man that one of the things that he did in the pulpit was tell people the last check they wrote and who it was to and how much it was for. Again, ask yourself, what's the purpose of that? All I got to do is look at my register. I can tell you the same thing. Things of God should have a result that is edifying. And if you're not very careful, you can kind of begin to try to do things that make you appear to be special, something you're not, superior to other people. John Osteen was the greatest I ever saw in the gifts of the Spirit because I've seen so many people try and they're wrong. And John, he would say this before he started telling people. He said, "Sir, right here, stand up." He'd have somebody stand up. He'd say, "Now I'm going to tell you some things about yourself. What God's saying." And he said, "If I'm right," he said, "it's God. But," he said, "if I miss it," you said, "well, John missed it again." He misses it all the time. So by the time he got through preparing people, there wasn't any way his flesh could glory. It wasn't about whether he was a prophet or not. He was actually trying to help people. And so many people, they're more concerned about their ministry than who are they ministering to. We're really called to put people at priority, not our ministry. People talk about my ministry all the time. What about the people you're ministering? They're really the important thing. And so it's not about whether you're a prophet or you've got some kind of a gift or that somebody else doesn't have. And so I'd like to just kind of coin a phrase here tonight: spiritual sensory perception. The spiritual counterpart to our physical senses. You know, most of us have physical senses. Some of us have had those altered a little bit by the COVID. Some people can't taste as well, can't smell as well as they used to. But we're not talking about our physical senses tonight. We're talking about our spiritual senses. And when you talk about spiritual senses, they are real. They are real. It's just amazing how much I know before it happens, particularly with people in the congregation. When somebody calls me, I generally know what the conversation is going to be about before we ever start. Or when Judy calls me and says, so-and-so wants you to call them back, I generally, even though I haven't talked to those people for months, I generally know because the Holy Spirit is preparing me to be able to communicate with them and help them whatever area they're dealing with. So let's start with the first sense. It's in our text tonight. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that hath an ear. In other words, everybody is not blessed with a spiritual ear to hear the voice of the Spirit. He said, he that hath an ear. Jesus is making a distinction between those that have an ear, a spiritual ear, and those that don't. And a lot of people just don't. And I can prove that they don't because they keep making so many mistakes in your life. If you have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying, you will avoid a lot of mistakes that other people are making in relationships, in jobs, in business, monetarily, all kinds of relationships, because the Spirit will actually speak to you and you have an ear to hear what He is saying. I've always thought perhaps that's the reason why Jesus showed such aggravation and disdain toward Peter when they came to take Jesus to try Him. Peter pulled out a sword and cut Malchus's ear off, and Jesus reprimanded him and then reached down, kind of made Peter look bad because he reached down and picked up out the ear out of the dirt, put it back on the side of his head, and then said, testing, 1, 2, 3, is it working all right? And then he rebuked Peter for doing that. I thought the reason why he was somewhat upset about Peter doing that was it is so indicative of people that lose their hearing. They simply do not have the ability to hear what the Spirit of God is saying, and they go through life just like a bull in a china closet. I mean, they're just making mistake after mistake after mistake after make. And, you know, I can understand, especially when you're young, you can make a mistake in your marriage, but after 5 or 6 or 7 or 8, perhaps you say, maybe I'm not getting good advice. Maybe I'm not basing it on the right things. Maybe I'm basing it on the way people look, and all that's going to fade. You just keep making those same mistakes. When you have those mistakes, just calamity after calamity, what it should tell you is, I don't have a spiritual ear to hear what God is saying, because if I did, I would not be making these mistakes. When one develops the spiritual ear to hear what the Spirit is saying, the number one rule. You say, well, I hear a voice, but I don't know whether that's God or maybe it's just me or maybe it's a recollection of something I've heard before or read. Number one, when one develops the spiritual ear to hear what the Spirit is saying, and this is what I deal with and dealt with all of my ministry. People coming to me, and the first words out of their mouth is, well, they've called, they want an appointment, they want a counsel, and they come in and sat down and said, God said to me. At that point in time, the counseling session is now over. Because I'm going to say, no, God was wrong on this one. Here's what you need to do. Once you say, God told me to do something, there is no counseling. There's no conversation. God said me to do it. If God said it, you don't even need to be in my office. And so before we declare God said it, we need to run it through a lot of filters to make sure this is God. People scare me when they say, God said. And I see preachers doing a lot. I had a friend, I loved this guy, and I never did let him preach here. He's in heaven, I hope, now. But he's been gone for a while. But he used to call me regularly. He said, Brother Steve, I need to come to your church. I need to come to your church. But he had too much God said. Like he could be in a service, and this is what he'd do. God said for you, Brother Kevin, to pay my airfare here. And people will do that. That pays airfare. God said for you to give $1,000 tonight. I just don't believe in those things. I just don't believe in them. And I hope I'm not being carnal, but I just don't believe God works that way. I don't think God's going to surprise you from the pulpit by me. God told me to tell you to give $1,000. And see, I think that saying that, if it's not true, and ultimately God decides whether it's true, but I just don't believe God does that. I think it's worse. I think that's using God's name in vain, worse than using GD. Because now you're saying in the authority. That happens sometimes in church. You know, somebody wants to do something. They say, well, pastor told me to do that. And I may have them talk to them about that. But they just know if they say that, they're going to get to do what they want to. Doesn't matter too much about me. But when you said God said, you better know for sure that it's God. But the number one filter, and there's several here, but the number one filter that God has in when we begin to talk to him and about what am I hearing? I'm hearing something. Is this God? And God speaks to me in a very plain way. But it's not for me to take advantage or manipulate somebody. Pastor John Hagee preached a sermon, been 20 years ago, I guess, and I didn't even hear it in person. I heard it on tape. Somebody gave it to me. It was amazing. And it was about the spirit of manipulation and how it's demonic. And it really is. And he went through all the little deals, and it got pretty quiet at Cornerstone when he's preaching this, because he talked about wives manipulating their husbands to go to the mall and buy them. It got real, real personal before he got through. But it was an amazing message about how God hates people manipulating other people. And he really does. And it happens in a church, and sometimes it's well-meaning, but sometimes it's just out of the desires of the pastor to make things happen that he wants and manipulate people. I try my best to not manipulate people. I want them to be led by the Lord. And so when you hear a voice, you say, do I have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying? Number one, the number one rule, the Spirit will never speak to anybody anything contrary to the written word. Like I had a man tell me, not in this church, but as a pastor that I knew. He said, Brother Steve, he said, I'm praying, but he said, God's already spoke to me. And this guy was apparently very serious. He said, I'm supposed to divorce my wife. And he said, God's already showed me who I'm supposed to marry. And then he made it all spirit. He said, my wife has never been really concerned about the ministry. And he said, I want to go be a missionary. And he said, this woman I know said she does the same. She wants to be a missionary. And said, God is telling me to divorce my wife and marry this woman so I can be a missionary. Friend, that's just so opposed to the Word of God. You know that he is not hearing what the Spirit's saying. He's hearing what the flesh is saying. And you've got to be very careful before you start saying, I've got a hearing ear and I want to do what God says. You've got to be very careful that you can distinguish between a voice of the flesh and the voice of the Spirit. That's what a hearing ear is. It is a discerning ear. And so the number one rule is, the Spirit will never speak to anybody anything contrary to the Word of God. Three things that you can count on it doing. Number one, this is a big deal with me because this is what happens to me all the time. And it's happened to me a long time, for years and years. This is when the Spirit speaks to me, when I have a hearing ear, and the voice comes to me, it always illuminates a scripture. There are scriptures in the Bible that have never been particularly personal for me. They've never really leapt out, and I've never really thought, man, that's an amazing verse. But when the Spirit begins to speak to you and you have a hearing ear, what he will do, he will take a verse off of the Word of God, right out of the Bible, that you've never, ever really highlighted before. And then all of a sudden, that verse will become the main verse in the Bible for a period of time in your life. God is just illuminating that. That's the way the Spirit works, to show you that this is a very important passage to you at this time in your life. It might not be as important later, but right now, God's Spirit is speaking to you. And if you'll stand on that verse, that's the reason why we see miracles. I've had it to be about money, but it's not always about money. Sometimes it's about health. Sometimes it's about relationship. Sometimes it's about strategy for the kingdom of God. But that verse will just be illuminated by the power of the Holy Ghost. And you'll say, wow, I never really saw that verse before. And it's always shocking to me. Somebody like myself, I've been preaching for all these years and been reading the Word of God since I was just a kid. Just a little kid reading the Word of God. And all of a sudden, a verse that has not had a particular significance in my life becomes the predominant verse of that day or that week or that month, and I just keep seeing it over and over, and I suddenly see things in that verse. I know that I've got a hearing ear, and I'm hearing the Spirit of Almighty God, and it's going to require me to act on it. You see, when God illuminates a verse, it's going to require actions on your part. Something for you to do, God illuminates that verse. Number two, it can personalize the Scripture. You know, you just read the book and it's public domain. Now, you can't copyright the Bible. It's public domain. Not legally, but spiritually also. It's everybody's Bible. You read yourself and you read about Abraham or you read about Saul or Paul or whoever you read. It's just a story. But when Jesus joined the men on the Emmaus Road, they were disappointed with life. They'd followed Christ. Christ got crucified. They did not know enough about the Scripture to know that this was a big part of the plan. And so they were going home totally defeated. But when Jesus joined them and began to speak to them, what happened? The Bible said their hearts burned. Their eyes were opened. He broke the Scripture for them. And they read themselves into the Scripture. When you have a hearing ear, it will not be a story about somebody in a foreign land with a different culture, with different attire. When you hear the Spirit of the Lord speak to you from the Word of God, He illuminates that Scripture, it personalizes. And suddenly, it's not about somebody riding a camel in a desert. It's about somebody driving a Ford in San Antonio. Suddenly, it's personalized. It's about you. It's about your husband, your wife, your family, your children. And you realize this verse that was written thousands of years ago was written with a lot of people, but it was also written with me in mind. The God that saw the end from the beginning. That's the reason why I don't know how familiar you are with the Bible code. It was a big fad 10, 15 years ago. It's amazing how people could, they'll read the Scriptures backwards and they'll find meaning diagonally. They'll find, and somebody said, you believe that? I said, well, we couldn't do it until we had computers. But yes, God is that infinite that you can read it forwards or backwards or sideways or diagonal and it still has meaning. And friend, I'm telling you that God that saw the end from the beginning knew you before you ever entered your mother's womb and before you were ever born, said, there's going to be, Chris is going to need that verse in 2021. Now, it's going to be used for the entire body of Christ and a lot of other people between the time it was written and now. But God also saw you. He is that personal. If He can number the hairs on your head, He can put verses in the Bible just for you. And praise God, suddenly you've got an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. And what it's saying is this particular verse is for you today, this week. It's going to come to pass in your life. You're going to have this particular miracle in your life. And this is just for you today. I've isolated it. And so the second thing is it personalizes the Scripture. Number three, it can possibly put a timeline on the Scripture. You see, all of the Scripture is given for inspiration, but some of it is not timely. Kenneth Phillips, one of my friends, is one of the funniest guys I've ever heard just in science. I used to know a very well-known preacher, and he never was particularly friendly. And suddenly, every time I'd see him, he just hugging me and couldn't get enough of me, and he'd always just kind of ignored me before. And so I said to Brother Phillips, I said, hey, I said, you know Brother so-and-so, which was a friend? He said, yeah. I said, he never has really been my closest friend. Every time I see him, he just holds me and hugs me. And I said, I don't know. I'm the same guy. Well, what changed? He said, he's got a new book out, big church, a lot of books. So in one phrase, he told me what the relationship was about. And so he's very, very, very good at doing that. And so I heard a sermon one time, which was a train wreck. It was a disaster. And he was with me. And you just leave and saying, man, I wished I hadn't heard that. It was just a condemning deal. I said, what do you think, Brother Phillips? He said, an untimely fig. That was his only criticism, an untimely fig. I don't know about figs, but I can tell you in southern Illinois, we have a lot of persimmon trees, and you bite into an untimely persimmon, and you can kiss for 2 days because you pucker up. You just can't get your mouth straight if you bite into a green persimmon. And so he said, an untimely fig. And so when you rightly divide the Word of God, you've got to realize this. Every verse is not important all the time, even though it's God's Word. It's just not time yet. But when you hear the Spirit, when you have an ear to hear the Spirit, suddenly a verse becomes timely. And timing is everything. If timing wasn't everything, they wouldn't have stoplights. Just think, 5 seconds before you got there, a semi went through there. And if you'd been there 5 seconds earlier, you'd been squashed like a bug. But timing is everything. And timing is everything spiritually, too. And so when you can hear the Spirit of God, when you can hear the Spirit of God, and it's actually connecting with you through the Word of God, making it personal, and now it's putting a timeline on it and said, today is the day. Now is the time. You're supposed to do this today. Ladies and gentlemen, God has blessed me tremendously, tremendously. But the reason why is I hear the voice of God. And it's not for self-aggrandizement. It's for the work of God. It's for my betterment. But it's not to manipulate somebody. You know, I've told you 4 or 5 times because I'm pretty thankful for it, actually. But when we were getting ready to build this, well, when I bought this property, which is way before we built this building, I was dealing with Joe Mangione, which was a land developer and swapper from New York. And he was out of casting. I mean, he looked like a mafia character, and I really liked Joe. He was a godless guy, but he was a big personality, and Joe and I did some business together. And so I was getting ready to sign the deal. I said, hey, Joe, I said, I need an easement out of the back of that property. He said, he was going to swap it. He didn't care. He said, okay. So we wrote that in. We have an easement. That's the drive that out of the back. Well, that thing sat there for years. And when they got ready to start putting this shopping center in there, suddenly we, Living Way Church, has an easement from here all the way to 1604 across that property. And they can't do a thing. The city of Live Oak called me and said, do you have an easement across that property? A blanket easement? I said, I sure do. They said, we don't think so. Can we come and look at your deed? Came and looked at my deed and said, you sure do. They were crestfallen because the city was pushing to get that done because it's going to be tax dollars to them. It's going to be all kinds of money for the city. And here I am holding a blanket easement. Nothing can happen until I say it can. I held them up 6 months because I was just waiting. Finally, they said, what do you want? I said, well, here's what we need. We need a 30-foot concrete drive out of our church parking lot that goes all the way to 1604 and gives us access to 35. They said, wow, okay, we can do that. I said, another thing is you can't block us from that back parking lot, not one day while you're under construction. Okay, they just want me signed, just anything. They call one day after we got everything, and they said, hey, he said, let me explain to you. We got to put your road in, and then we got to tear it up, and then we got to put it in again. If you would just let us close that road for a week or two, it would change everything. I said, how much? Cha-ching. I said, it'll be this many thousands of dollars, and I'll need it on my desk today. He said, done. But I'd like to tell you that I'm the smartest guy in San Antonio, but I can tell you I didn't pre-think that. I didn't plan that. I'm getting ready to sign the deed on this property. And all of a sudden, a voice speaks to me, say, get an easement out of the back of that property. And God does that all the time. Now, yours might not be a parking lot, but it can be a job. It can be who you're supposed to date, who you're supposed to marry. It can be how you're supposed to counsel your children. It can be where they ought to go to college. The Holy Ghost knows everything. And if you get to walking in a place where He who have an ear. He that have an ear. In other words, lots of people don't. But if you do have an ear, hear what the Spirit is saying. And I promise you, you won't have to fight so many battles because you won't be in the battle. You'll be going around the battle. You won't meet the adversary. You'll know the adversary is there. You're going to go another way because the Holy Ghost has warned you to do so. You've got to hear what the Spirit is saying. And God wants to do that. You see, I'm such an advocate for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I love Catholics, Baptists, Methodists, Episcopalians. I love all Christians. But I just believe that every Catholic and every Episcopalian, every Pentecostal, every Baptist ought to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because the book of Acts is the church in action, and it's all about the Holy Spirit. The whole church in the book of Acts and in the epistles were all filled with the Holy Spirit. There was no such thing after the birthday of the church as a non-tongue-speaking Christian. Paul called them on the carpet, and he said, hey, have you received the Holy Ghost since you? And we hadn't even heard about it. Well, it's time you heard about it. And I am that, not because you just come to this altar and speak in tongues. That's not the point. The Bible said that Christ was given the Spirit without measure. And somebody said, well, what about Christians? Well, I'm sure they have a measure of the Spirit. But you don't have the Spirit without measure until you get filled with the Holy Ghost. And so don't somebody say, well, you know, I don't have the gift of the Holy Ghost, but I got the gift of the healing. No, you don't. No, you don't. Because they're the gifts of the Spirit. They're not the gift of Sadie or Billy Bob. They're the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you can't have the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So you have to receive the Holy Spirit first. And so it's not just down here speaking in tongues as some kind of like a big, you know, you put a big badge on and say, man, I speak in tongues. It's not that at all. You are now filled with the Holy Spirit, and with that comes all benefits, and one of the major benefits is you now have the ability to have an ear that hears what the Spirit is saying, and it will make you rich in 1,000 different ways. You'll hear things that other people do not hear. Listen to this, John 12:28. Father, glorify thy name, Jesus said. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it, said that it thundered, and others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sake. The point is this. The Spirit spoke, and everybody with him thought it thundered. He was the only one. Okay, what's the point? The point is this. Every time you hear it thunder, you have a storm. Somebody said, well, you must not be living right. God's judging you for this. God's judging. No, no, no. Out of that thunder, there comes a voice that is for nobody but you because you have a hearing ear. And what the world means for evil, what the devil means for evil, and what the crowd said, all I see is a storm. I can promise you, I'm flesh. I just hate my flesh. My flesh is the source of all my problems. I thought it was the devil. No, he's defeated. My flesh is my problem. My flesh is my problem. And guess what? Your flesh is not my problem. You know, preachers want to blame people in the pew. Like, your flesh is my problem. That's not it. And people in the pew want to blame, oh, that preacher. No, my flesh is not. It's my problem. And your flesh is your problem. And so after all of my preaching, all of my teaching, all of the victories I've had in the Lord, every time a storm comes up, I say, oh, why? You know, I might not say it, but in my spirit. That's just the natural reaction of my spirit. Well, the truth is that storm has so many perplexing qualities that we don't even understand. You know, we talk about the winds of adversity. You know how they got the grain in the Old Testament? They took the grain and they threw it up. They had a place called winnowing fields. They threw it up, and the wind would blow away the chaff, and the seed would come back, and then they could sell the seed. So the wind was actually a tool for them to get the value of the grain that they'd harvest out of the field. So a lot of things that we think are negative are really just a cocoon for the voice of God to speak. The Bible said, the disciples said, how come you speak in parables? He said, so they won't understand. God does not intend for everybody to have his credit card. I used to know an old horse trader, and he'd say, Steve, if you'll just give me a checkbook where I can go and buy and sell horses, we'll split the profit 50-50. There wasn't a chance I was going to give that guy a checkbook. You know why? He was stone broke all the time. He just wanted to make me broke like him. He would have wasted my money through that checkbook. I asked Red McCombs one time here in my office. I said, Red, I got $500. I got $500,000. I got it in the bank, and it's not drawing hardly any interest. Is there a chance that you could take that money and invest it for me? Now, here's a guy asking for my checkbook, and I'm telling him no. Now I'm asking Red to take my checkbook and invest, and he said no. Because he said, Steve, I lose money all the time. I always make more of it, but he said, what if I lost a preacher's money? He said, I just couldn't live with myself. He said, you're doing fine by yourself. And that is true. Partnerships can be very dangerous because you might have an ear, hearing ear, and they might not have one. Years ago, 30 years ago, I had a good friend. He was coming here to church, and he'd got into a little money. I called him one day, and I said, hey, brother. I said, a real estate agent just called me, and there is a piece of ground we can buy for $100,000. It's going to be real valuable. And I said, not only that, we can buy it for $10,000 down, and we don't have to give any more money for a year. And he said, let me think about it. I already knew, but I was younger, a little fearful, and so I wanted his input. He stalled around about 3 or 4 days. I called my real estate lady, and I said, hey, I said, I can't get my partner in on this. He's a little scared, but I said, I'm going to go ahead with that deal. She said, you're too late. She said, that property that I offered you for $100,000 and you only have $10,000, it sold twice in 3 days, and the last buyer, the second buyer, paid $1 million for it. She said, Steve, you missed $900,000. I haven't been real partner savvy since then. I kind of want to make my own decisions because I can hear what other people don't hear. I can see what other people don't see. There is a Holy Ghost that wants to live in you, not just to make you flop like a fish. That Holy Ghost, praise God, wants to speak into your ear where you will be successful in all areas. The Bible said I love this phrase, all things that pertain to life. That means cars and clothes and baptism and communion and healing and all things that pertain to life. And the Holy Spirit wants to be able to speak to you and guide you. The Holy Ghost will guide you. Well, it can't guide you if you don't have a hearing ear. And so they thought it was a storm, but it was really the voice of Almighty God. And God is saying right now to people in this building, I want to take you to another level. We talk about levels. Oh, this is a level you need to go up to where you develop a prayer. You'll never have this without a prayer life. You'll never have this if you don't love the Word of God. You'll never have this if you don't value your relationship. You probably won't ever have this if you're a reluctant church goer. You've got to be one of those glad church goers. This has got to be your life. But when you get into that role and into that realm, the Spirit, if you had an ear, the Spirit will speak to you and it'll change your life and you will just be dramatically affected. And you'll say, man, I'm glad I got promoted. I'm glad I developed an ear to hear what God was saying. Life is so much better. Let me hurry to a close here. You say, well, how can I get this hearing ear? Number one, absolutely a necessity. You have to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You might be smart. You might have education. You might have experience. You might copy somebody else. You might be successful. But you're not going to have a hearing ear to hear what the Spirit is saying if you don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's one of the productive works of the Holy Spirit. And number two, Paul talked about it, by reason of use. And, you know, Becky told me this one time, and I just thought it just ministered to me. I owed a man one time, the church did, back when we was real, I owed him $50,000. You know, the Lord just does, for better lack of a way, cute things, just take away your apprehensions. I owed a man the church owed a man $50,000, and we were about 2 weeks late. And he was a nice guy. He wasn't pressing. He just let me know he wanted it as quick as I could get it. And boy, I just prayed and wanted it. His wife called me, and she said, "Brother Steve," said, "you owe my husband $50,000. She said, "Don't worry about it. Pay him when you get it." And said, "The Lord told me to tell you that my husband can't eat you with a spoon." That was the stupidest thing I've ever said. But it was several days before I got that $50,000. And I hear that every day, "He can't eat me with a spoon. He can't eat me with..." And it just ministered to me. And so Becky ministered to me, and I've used this two or three times, but she used to have to drive the boys to San Marcos for school. That's where they went to school, private school there, every day. And 5 days a week, drive them up there and then go back and get them. It was quite a deal, quite a sacrifice. And Becky, I'm going to tell you, Becky is no stranger to sacrifice. She's an amazing woman, praise God. If you're going to marry a woman, I just wish you would hear what Creflo Dollar said. Ask the questions. It's the best thing. Just look it up. If you've never heard Creflo do this, you just look it up. Questions you should ask if you're going to get married. It's the best thing. But one of the questions you should ask if you're going to marry a woman, what's your relationship with a mall? If you want to go to the mall, if you were glad when they said unto me, "Let us go to the mall," you might want to pass, sir. I've got preachers. I've been blessed financially, but I couldn't afford their wives, I promise you. They go to the mall every day. And not only that, they take friends with them and pay all their friends' stuff, too. I mean, just, and so, but Becky is not immune to sacrifice. And so she sacrificed. But one of the things she would do, she'd always give them a treat afterwards, always go somewhere to eat. And sometimes it'd be a busy place, and she'd always say, "Pray, we're going to go so-and-so, and pray we can get a good parking place." And she said, "I was training the boys that God will do that." He said, "Well, that's just so silly." But it really ministered to me, because the Bible said, by reason of use. You say, I don't have any sickness. Do you have a hangnail? Do you have an ingrown toenail? Do you have the sniffles? Do you have just a slight allergy? Are you losing your hair? I don't know what your problem is. Practice on small things. I practice on small things all the time, because I know big things are going to happen. And if I'm really good in small things, hearing what the Spirit is saying to my ear, it gives me tremendous confidence, tremendous confidence. God is going to open the door. God is going to make the way. I've got to hear what the Spirit's saying, because God wants me to call this person at a certain time, and it's important. I'm closing with this. David was surrounded, outnumbered, as they usually were, by the Philistines. And he said, "God, should I attack the Philistines?" And God said, "No, not yet." If David had attacked at that moment, the Israeli army would have been totally defeated. But he said, "Wait until you hear the sound of the going or the wind in the mulberry trees. And when you hear that sound, you will know that it's time for you to go on the offensive." And so everybody, he had thousands of troops. He had all kinds of army officers around him. They heard that wind in the tree. It didn't make a difference to them. It did not indicate anything to them, because they didn't have a hearing ear. But David had heard from God, and he had that ear, that a little wind in a mulberry tree was the sign. If you get sensitive to the Holy Ghost and you have a hearing ear, it will affect you how you buy your car. It will affect you how you buy your house. It will affect you where you are employed. It will affect you in relationships. You'll avoid wrong persons, and you will suddenly become friend to the right person. Why? Because you've got a hearing ear, and the Holy Ghost is just whispering. Oh, you see, you've heard about horse whispers and dog whispers and all of that. God is a human whisperer. He whispers just so quietly. But praise God, when you get close to him, you can hear it. And you say, "That's the voice of God. I'm not going to do that today." And God will say, "Tomorrow's the time to do that." Timing is so important. Little things become so significant. And there's no way you can know them just because you've got a PhD or because you're good looking or whatever. That's not going to be the answer. It's because you are in such close relationship with the Lord that you have a hearing ear. And God said, "It's time for you to go to your boss and just tell him, I got to have a raise. If you did that 2 days before, he'd have fired you on the spot. But if you do it the right day, he said, I've been thinking about that. You can't, there's no way that you can know the numbers in 46 years of pastoring this church. I preached that message called 15 Minutes of Favor. You don't need somebody for a lifetime. You just need him at that moment. I can't tell you how many times God has given me that 15 minutes of favor. The right banker, the right lawyer, the right real estate person, the right friend. And praise God, I said, well, Lord, what should I do? And the Lord said, don't do nothing today. But 2 days from now, here's what to do. And so you hear that with the Spirit of God. And so David went out against them simply because he heard the wind blowing in the tree. And the Bible tells us he totally defeated the Philistines. And friend, if you get to a place where you got a prayer life, where you're in love with the Lord, you're in relationship with the Lord, he's not just your Savior. That's so important that he's your Savior. But it really is not enough. He needs to be your best friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Oh, you talk about inside trading. Remember when Martha, whatever her name is, she went to prison over inside trading? Martha, what's Martha? Martha, she went over inside trading. Friend, I'm going to tell you, I inside trade all the time because the creator of the universe is my best friend. And there's not a thing the devil can do about it. He can't put me in prison for inside trading. I just inside trade all I want to, and I'm blessed coming in and going out, praise God, because the Lord really is on my side, and I've got an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. Stand on your feet, if you would. Lift both hands and just give God some praise in this house tonight. I want you to practice this. You say, well, I don't have a $1 million deal, and I'm not looking for a wife. It's not those big a decision. You got some decisions you're going to make tomorrow. And after a while, the little foxes spoil the vines. Those little decisions become vitally important. And I want you to start practicing this. The Bible said, by reason of use. Just begin to practice it in your life. And be like John Osteen. Don't be afraid to fail. John said, I'm going to call you out and tell you something. If I miss, it's John. He wasn't afraid to fail. It wasn't about his flesh or pride. It was about trying to help somebody. And so sometimes when you get into this realm where you're trying to develop a hearing ear, sometimes you're going to fail. But praise God, I'd rather try and fail than do nothing. I've failed many times, but I don't worry about those failures because God always gives me a victory that overpowers the past failure. God will take your failures and turn them into miracles. Turn them into victories in Jesus' name. Lord, I praise you. God, I want to be more sensitive to the Spirit of God. I want the people in this building to become sensitive to the Holy Ghost so that you can bless them to the place that they are abundantly overflowed. In the name of Jesus, I call it done. Is there anybody in this building tonight that doesn't know Jesus Christ? You'd like to be saved.